Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for your time today. I know everyone's on a tight schedule, so we're just going to kind of try to keep things moving along as quickly as possible. I believe everybody received emails, obviously, with sort of an outline of what was going to be happening today and a couple of attachments of the statutes and rules in Title 32.
Let me interrupt just a minute, Madam Chair. Sure. We now have three board members present.
Oh, I can actually step out, Tom.
Okay.
And I'll be briefed by Dr. Warner afterwards.
Oh, okay. Thank you,
Angela. Right. Have a good day and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Okay. Are we back in the safe zone?
Yes, and I wanted to say it before Mr. three times this is us because I didn't want to have the demerit, but we're fine.
Okay, good. So everybody received the emails with the attachments and a little quick outline of the topics for today. So we will do roll call like 3/4 of the way in, I guess, or closer to the end before everybody cuts out. So we have the official roll call, and also just separate, so everybody is reminded, this meeting is being recorded, not just audio, no video, right? And so I think we're good to go. So Mr. Stephen Mortel, we're going to let you go first because I know your schedule is the tightest of them all. Welcome and nice to meet you virtually.
Hello.
So I would love to hear from you, like a brief report. So you're the AMTA lobbyist, I guess, for lack of a better word, right?
Pretty word, yes, yes.
That's the best word we've got. Okay, great. So can you please share with this advisory? We're just a group of volunteers here to kind of help the board in whatever way possible and keep the communication going with all the licensed therapists in the state of Arizona. So if you could give us a little report about what's going on legislatively and what things we might need to be aware of, concerned about, excited about.
Sure. So I guess there's kind of there's two issues I think that Tom and I have kind of spoken about a little bit recently that we are in one process or another of kind of discussing and doing some outreach. So first of all is the process of licensing and the timing of which, and then the funding, obviously, and workforce that is being allotted for the board to do that. So as you guys know, the process and timing of that is putting quite a delay on a lot of the licensing. And so that was something that the association brought to me to try and see what we could do about that, see what conversations could be had around the legislature, with the governor's office, what other stakeholders might be involved. So after talking to Tom and kind of getting a little bit of a lay of the land of what that process was currently looking like and what some of the current conversations they've had with the legislature and with the governor, we have started to try and do some outreach, including with the Arizona Tourism Authority, which is going to be a lot of the facilities, a lot of the hotels and kind of hospitality facilities in town to see if they were interested in engaging. The feedback that we got was very positive, that they were seeing that there was an issue within their hiring and, you know, maintaining folks within their industry. And so they have been willing to come on board and help out. There's also another lobbyist that's working on behalf of some of the schools, massage therapy schools in the state. So we kind of are a little motley crew, I guess, at this point, a coalition of trying to kind of see what a next step might look like. We have had some engagement with both the legislature from the staff level and the governor's office at the staff level. They are currently in the process of, well, I guess when I say they, the governor's office is in the process of identifying what her 2024 budget is going to look like at this moment. The policy advisors have made recommendations to the governor. I believe those recommendations happened about 10 days ago. And now the governor's taking until basically January 8th when the state of the state comes out to make a determination on what those policy objectives are going to be. We don't know. We know that regulatory reform is going to be a part of a package. We don't know what that looks like at this point. We know there are, I think, lots of vacancies across all of the state boards at this point, as kind of the previous administration had kind of been holding off on several appointments. There was modifications to a lot of the boards, as you guys know, with the introduction of public members, and making sure that that was a priority. It seems like there may be some difference of opinion within this administration of how that is and some of the boards that need to be filled. I don't know. That's kind of the broader conversation that's happening. We've been trying to interject, obviously, from the massage therapy boards, not speaking for the board, but from the association's point of view, that something has to be done at this point, moving things forward, that we can't just continue on the way it is. So from the association standpoint, they don't have a particular purview of how that is, except for we can't just continue on like it is because things are not working. So that is all the guidance that I have been given in that. We are looking to kind of engage that coalition that I spoke about with Arizona Tourism, with the schools, and try and have another conversation with the executive as we go into things are a little bit more difficult, as you can imagine right now, getting some of those meetings due to the holidays and coming into the new year and her staff being a little bit more preoccupied with the creation of their budget. But coming into January, coming into that legislative session, as we're looking at what those policy objectives are going to be, what statutory objectives are going to be, and having the conversation that something needs to be moving forward to address these concerns within the board and their ability to process these licenses in a timely manner. So I guess that's kind of the first big one. And Tom, if I didn't hit on something or if I didn't get something right, please jump in and let me know what you're thinking. But that's kind of the interim conversations that have been having around that. So I guess I'll kind of stop there, and maybe if you guys want to talk about that one more specifically, or I can move on to something else.
Well, I'm quite curious about this two-year deadline that was mentioned at our last meeting more timely, and where you need more industry support, yeah?
Well, so I think yes. I mean, so that the two-year deadline obviously is an issue with the board, whether or not it's going to go away, but I think it plays into the overall policy of what are they doing in this regulatory scheme. So there's two kind of factors, I guess, that we can consider. Under the previous administration, there was a lot of discussion about consolidating boards, getting rid of boards, consolidating boards, or consolidating leadership of boards, basically putting every healthcare board under the Department of Health Services and then having them kind of serve as an executive entity of some sort and have the boards doing that. I don't know that that's the way the current administration would like to go. I do think there are still legislators who would like to see, you know, in the guise of less regulation, you know, less government interference, that some of these boards may not be necessary. I do think that perhaps the massage board might have been on that list. And so I do, when you look at these two-year continuations, there is, you know, that does bring some consternation to things moving forward, right? Having said all that, I don't believe it is the executive's intent at this point to start getting rid of boards. I do not see that as their overview of these things, particularly health boards. I do believe they see the importance of that regulated entity and licensing structure. So it's going to be it's the battle then between the legislature that kind of wanted to continue moving in the direction the previous administration was going and where the executive is currently placed. So having said all of that, there was a lot of boards that came through the sunset process last year, and any of them received the 8-year continuation that has kind of become the standard practice. And that is the legislature exerting its authority over the executive because they are in different political parties, saying, we're going to hold your feet to the fire on all of these, and we're going to make you continue to go through these motions. We're not going to continue anything for as long as we can because we're not going to give that satisfaction, I guess, is probably the most blunt way to
put it. Elections happen every 4 years.
Exactly. So, you know, so while, you know, the continuation was one of the shorter, the two-year continuation was shorter. I think some got 4, some got 6. None of them got 8. 8 used to be 10. You know, if you asked me 10 years ago, how many years do we continue everything for? It's 10. So that, yes, I do think it is a raise of concern. It is, you know, reaching out to members and talking about the need for the board, which is what we've done from the association's purview, why the board was created 20 years ago, why we didn't want the patchwork of regulation from different municipalities. Were they willing to get rid of the municipality's ability to regulate if the state was not going to take control? So we didn't see that patchwork frame again. So when we kind of start to articulate those, then we get to where we are now, which is kind of this just starve the beast mentality sort of thing, where we're just going to try and keep everything the way it is, not continue anything longer than we have to, and kicking the can down the road, which is kind of fundamentally where we're at.
Gotcha. So is there anything that the industry can do or should be doing at this point to support your efforts and the efforts of the association and so forth and so on?
So, I think with the coalition kind of that I spoke about, I think we're going to try and have some conversations with some of the other business entities in the state. You know, from my purview, the Arizona Chamber. So if you, as some of the businesses I know from like Massage Envy's or some of the larger hotels that might have positions on those boards, we're going to try and utilize that leverage to get some of the more, business-centric entities involved, working that angle with some of the more conservative members of the legislature. I don't know that I have a defined strategy on December, 14th for you of where we're going to go come January 8th when session comes back. Obviously, we have some time on that continuation process, but we want to start having those conversations. And I guess once we have a better idea of who our allies are going to be on that, then we can help identify who those particular targets need to be.
Gotcha. Okay. And my last question, then I'll let others have a chance. Back to the issue of the funding and so forth, for maybe a little bit more layman's terms for some of us. I do know when I was the chair way back in the dark ages in the beginning, the getting of money was always an interesting question, like how you got, because obviously we have a lot of money because we've been around for a long time. But could you just educate everybody here how it works? Like, even though we have money in the bank, how come we can't just write a check?
So what happens every year is what's called expenditure authority, right? And so the state passes the budget, and they, despite what's in the bank, they have to allow you to spend it. They have to give you expenditure authority over a certain amount of dollars. They, and Tom is maybe jump in if I'm getting some of this wrong, but have not been giving expenditure authority for the majority of the funds that we have. There is a surplus that has continued to accumulate. The bad news on that is, as you've probably all read, there's going to be a budget deficit this current year. So we're $400 million as a state in debt, looking at our 2024 revenues. My guess is the first place they start to look at, which is what they did in 2008, is they look at all these state agencies. They say, how much do we have in reserve amongst all of our boards? And they do what's called a fund sweep. And they sweep those funds into the general fund to backfill their other obligations. And then, they say that was money that you guys weren't utilizing anyway. That's why it was there. That's why we never gave you authority to spend it in the first place. And this is why we saved it for a rainy day. So that's the question will be whether or not that is on the appetite of legislators and of the executive this current year. My guess, again, conservative legislature, that is probably where they look at first. It's kind of low-hanging fruit. As far as that goes, they're also looking at across-the-board cuts to state agencies and all state funding. I've heard 3% should get them to where they want to go. From the executive side, though, she has said, I'm not cutting education and I'm not cutting healthcare. Whether or not that goes into the healthcare boards, per se, I don't know if that's included when she's made those comments broadly. But again, that is kind of the low-hanging fruit where they look at those fund sweeps.
Gotcha. And there are no Hail Mary plays that we can do before January 8th, since we're down to the wire here.
I mean, we have to look and determine what's going to come out in the governor's budget. I mean, you can do some outreach, or we could try, we've had the conversations. They know the money's there. I don't know that, to be frank, if the massage folks come in and say, don't sweep us, but everybody else is going to get swept, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So it's going to be a larger industry conversation. That's a larger regulatory conversation. I'm not going to tell you it can't hurt to reach out. Obviously getting voices heard never can hurt, but I don't know that it has that a very practical effect if that's the overall policy.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Okay. Anybody else have any questions? for Mr. Mortel? Not right off? Okay, great.
Actually, I do. This is Deborah Kimmett. I don't live in Arizona. I'm sort of an adjunct person to help out with things. So one of the questions that I have for you, Mr. Mortel, is do other boards, other professional boards have the licensing issue that we're having right now of getting the licenses out and all those kinds of things?
I would say ours is probably one of the most dramatic. There's the fingerprinting issue, which is kind of new to the massage board here, obviously, has caused the timing rift that I think a lot of other boards have had to deal with. Because the way that the fingerprints are processed through DPS and have to be utilized the FBI database, there's been issues of connectivity to that FBI database and whether or not they're actually allowed to use these for that purpose. I think that was one of the initial issues. The bigger, broader issue than that is because we have so many people utilizing that database and so many people that are being processed, whether it's child care workers, all our educators, I mean, so everybody that has to be utilizing that, the time frame for those processes on the fingerprint portion alone, I think is a minimum of 3 months.
Well, I mean, part of my understanding was is that there just wasn't staff to be able to keep up with the licensing is what I gathered from the conversations that we've had in the past. And I'm wondering how it would fly to actually pitch temporary staff to deal with the backlog, you know, of the legislature paying for temporary staff just long enough to do some catch up so that that way it's not quite as bad of a problem.
Yeah. And I definitely think, you know, from talking to Tom, obviously the board is understaffed. There's very few people there to process the licenses. There's money available in order to hire more staff to do that, whether on an ongoing or temporary basis. The question again goes back to a more political one of, are we trying to starve the massage board out and say that because we don't believe that they need to be processing license and we would like to get rid of them at some point, we just haven't been able to have the political fortitude or will to do so. So that's kind of that first angle. And then obviously the budget angle of, are we going to be sweeping those funds and we're not going to give them any money regardless of the situation because they are a board and that's what we're doing across the state with all boards.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Absolutely.
Marsha had her hand up.
Yeah. I have a question about, you know, I have a background in working for corporates. And so we're an acquisition target. Having that much money available, there are many boards that would be willing to look at us. So who would be the best board? And so for Ashley, I have a question about, you know, with regard to other states, are they under the Board of Cosmetology? Are they under the Board of Chiropractors? Should we do what California is doing? I think we need to take some time to think about where we want to go, what we want to do. Do we want to divide up the more medical, chiropractic, medical people versus spa people versus whatever? I think that this is a really important discussion to have for us right now because that helps us determine where we want to go and what we want to do.
Do you want to break the news that it won't be the board's input that will make that decision?
No, it won't. It's going to be the 800-pound gorilla is going to beat the crap out of the little guy. So, you know, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight.
So I think, you know, my initial thought is there's the two camps in my mind, and this is just Steve, political tea leaves. There's the camp of we keep them regulated or we don't. So I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, whether or not we were to combine with another board and, you know, to figure out what that is, I don't know that particularly. I mean, I think if you had some ideas and we wanted to make recommendations of what made sense, we could make that. We don't think we'll make that determination, but I think we're still missing the larger fight in my mind, which is, are we looking at regulation or deregulation? you know, again, I said, I believe this. I don't believe the executive wants a deregulation standpoint. I don't think that that is kind of an old guard mentality when you had some of the Republican legislators that were looking, moving that towards under the Ducey administration. But again, they also weren't able to do that. And now there's a political temperament of how do we kind of stick it to the governor with some of these boards by not, by, you know, holding off some funding, by not continuing. I mean, we're still dealing with the same legislature that has not put in any of the director positions for any of the administrative of the governor. So the Department of Health Services does not have a director. Our Medicaid system does not have a director because they will not approve any of the governor's nominations. And this is just kind of a downhill portion of that battle in my mind.
Yeah, we need a plan A, which I agree with you. We should stay regulated. But what about a plan B? Yeah. I mean, we need to really think about both because that gives us options. And that's what I'm the most concerned about.
Yeah, I think having that conversation and looking at what those options might be, if we are to go with somebody else, what fits best, what might work, what is the relationship, having that conversation and then doing, making some of the, having that conversation. But I guess my fear is if you come in, if I, you tell me, hey, go meet with these legislators and say we should be part of the cosmetology board. Have you conceded that we're already moving to, from into a rate? You see what I'm saying?
So yeah, that's plan B. That's
yes,
plan
I understand that, but I guess that's my thought. So yes, you guys should have that conversation. You should start to think about it. I just don't know if it's time to act on anything yet. That's all I'm, I think Marcia, we're probably on the same page.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too. We got to fight. We have to fight and we have to plan for that.
Right. So, I think this is a great segue into Stephanie's quick update from, so our, Mr. Martel, are you aware of, Stephanie and, an associate, Jimmy Gialis, having some like town hall type style gatherings to get industry input about and trying to build some critical mass with people to help help us lobby?
I think Tom kind of briefed me that there was one of these a couple of weeks ago or there was it said that was part of a conversation.
Previous series.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have enough time to hear Stephanie's update. Are you ready, Stephanie?
I am ready. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
So what did you learn?
All right. So Jimmy and I did the meeting. We had about 16 attendees. So we had people come in person. Obviously, Kevin was there from the Federation of State Massage Therapy Boards. We had virtual attendees. So I thought it was really productive and it went really well. We basically said, these are the things that we can't change right now, right off the bat. You know, we can't change board funding. We can't change a lot of the things that we just talked about until we get to the legislature. But what can we do now to help get the ball rolling? So I wrote all of their ideas up on the whiteboard and just want to share these with you really quick because I think they had some really good ones and a couple questions that came up during the meeting. So a couple of things they talked about: encouraging other professionals to attend state board meetings and get to know what's going on, creating a task force or multiple task forces to work on some of the issues that we're experiencing. They talked about looking into ways to secure board funding that maybe are kind of like unconventional, like can we get grants? Is there a way to get for the board to take donations. So there were a couple of those types of things that came up, and I don't know if any of that's possible, but just wanted to put that out there. They talked about involving students, getting in front of the schools and getting the students involved in advocacy efforts. Having more in-person meetings, you know, getting face-to-face and letting people share their concerns and their issues. Obviously, getting all of the associations involved to help us, AMTA, ABMP, they talked about COMTA. So I think a lot of them have a good understanding of kind of the strengths of these organizations and how we might all work together to do something. And encouraging other professionals. They talked about encouraging other professionals to get licensed, like reflexologists and the ones that aren't really covered by, you know, state massage board rules. And we, you know, I think that's something that we can kind of think about a little bit further down the line of how we might encourage those other professions to get licensed and talk about the benefits of being licensed, which might actually kind of help us in the long run. And setting up more local groups, local hubs, educating the law enforcement and first responders on some of the issues that we're facing and why we need to be regulated to get their support. They talked about doing a couple walkthrough videos, which I thought we could share in some of the, at least like the online Facebook forums, like kind of in the features section of a walkthrough of how to navigate the state board's website, a walkthrough of how to renew your license, and actually show them visually and have those videos in there posted that they can just go and reference if they need it. I thought those were great ideas, and having school owners meet and kind of get them on common ground, developing a sort of a common
school owners, and developing sort of a
common language or like talking points if we're going to move forward and talk to the legislature. You know, what are we going to say to them and how are we going to say it? So everybody seemed really excited to be there and to have a voice and to be able to help. And so Jimmy is going to, after Christmas and everything, we're going to look at all of these ideas and start kind of assigning tasks to the people that were there and see if we can get, you know, volunteers to start working on these things. There were a couple who are already starting to do like smaller local group meetings that are willing to talk about this stuff that are here in the Phoenix area, which is awesome. And then they had a question about interns. Can the state have interns that might help with some of the administrative stuff on the state board? So that was another thing that came up. And I'm not really sure of the answer to that, but I told them that I would bring it to you and find out. And then Jimmy's also going to be writing some sample letters for the state legislature. And I can share those with you and, you know, maybe we can talk about that and kind of develop some good talking points for them when the legislative session happens again. And Marcia is going to help me and work on a post-meeting survey so we can get, you know, kind of an overview and ask some like really pointed questions about, you know, how things went and what they can do and get some like research back from everybody. So I thought it went really well, and we're going to do another one of these in February in Tucson, and then we're going to try to set another one up with Michelle Cordero somewhere up north, maybe at the ACES campus up there.
Thank you, Stephanie. So there were some comments in the chat, if you didn't see already.
A lot of notes.
Do it on paper, but unfortunately not allowed. This brings up a question for me. So Mr. Martel, letters to the legislator, you know, any kind of, you know, postcard writing campaigns, et cetera, et cetera. Are those a good idea, not a good idea? Who should be helping with the languaging of that? If it is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely. I think you first is determining what the ask is, right? Is the ask that we are able to hire X new people, releasing X amount of dollars out of this? You know what I mean? So kind of that's the first step, right? Is determining what it is that we're asking for. Because if we don't have an ask and it's just a blanket help us, then it kind of washes away, right? So the first thing is identifying what is it we're asking for. Are we asking for, you know, to cut processing time, we need two people, we need released out of the X amount of dollars that we have currently in the fund. We need these amount of released, and we need this, what are called FTEs, this allotment of people to be able to be hired and paid whatever rate. And I guess that's going to be more Tom's expertise on what that necessity looks like, what do you believe would reduce the wait times, how many folks, what's that ask going to be? So that's the first thing. Then once you have that ask, then yes, writing in things to members. The question then is there some sort of bill that you might want to introduce along those lines? Because then you could have everybody coming down on a certain day and discussing that. I mean, and have a committee hearing. Now, obviously, all of this is part of a budget process. So that bill will not be the vehicle that actually gets this done, but it could be a vehicle to the advocacy because it gives you kind of something to rally around, and it gets you something that you can you know, a day that everybody can come down and testify before a committee about how egregious we feel this current process is. So that's kind of a second phase too that can be part of that once you know what it is you want. So those are the kind of the two things I think in the meantime. Obviously then advocacy to the executive, which could be earlier on right now, because like I said, she's creating her budget priorities between now and January 8th when the State of the State comes out. This governor's budget usually comes out that following Friday. So what is that? Friday the 13th, maybe? is when that budget would be released. So, you know, that's kind of where currently that's where we've been kind of focusing our advocacy is those discussions with the executive, because they're going to have the most control and they come out first. Then we do some follow-up advocacy as the legislature kind of piles back in. Then we start having those conversations with members, targeting health chairs, health staff, appropriations chairs, appropriations staff. And I can help you identify who those people are and what that looks like once you have what your message looks like. And I can help you, obviously, whoever wants to write a letter, and I can help kind of, you know, guide what that should say or shouldn't say, or I can put my two cents in if you want me to, or I can be quiet and say this is what you guys are sending out. So however you want to provide that, you know, or do something along with that, I'm happy to help in any way.
Gotcha. There's a question in the chat. Is it better to actually do paper letters or email campaigns?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think their staff open both, right? And kind of there's some members that read every single email and that are going to be vested. There's probably some that haven't opened their email in the last 10 years that are ever there. You know, so whether or not they open their paper mail, I doubt there's any different process. So usually for ease sake in 21st century, I say go ahead and go with the emails and, you know, but a multitude of them, even if, you know, I know sometimes their form letters, they get a lot, but if they get 2,000 of them, you know, all of a sudden there's a little bit of awareness. Why is this such an issue? Why is this many people emailing me? So that is, you know, the volume of it can really determine some more of the message than maybe even what the message is.
Gotcha. Great. Mr. Tapscott has raised his hand.
Thank you. It's Mike Tapscott. Just a comment on that. I was listening to everybody's comments, and I do think moving forward and asking for more funding as a preemptive thing and trying to get a lawmaker to even pass some legislation that's more pro the board is a really good way to go, because it doesn't even ask the question if we're going to continue. It says we're going to continue and we want more. And I think that's a really good issue to push. The other nice thing too, you're talking about letter writing and such, is if we can get some legislation kind of moving through the houses, then letter writing can become very targeted, because then we discover who's on those committees and we write letters that are very specific to the committee members, and we get business owners and schools and such. And I don't want to oversimplify here, but I get business owners to write the Republicans and tell them how much this is hurting their business. I get massage schools, you know, to write the Democrats and tell them how this is killing the common man because they can't get their license. The point is, and those, I am spinning that, but I believe both those arguments. And so those are very easy things to get behind if we push forward some agenda instead of kind of talking about what if we're here. I think we should be talking about pushing forward issues for more support, as though that's, because what we do is we also open up the public debate of why it's so important to have the board. And then it becomes very hard to just abolish it when we talk about the public safety that it provides and things like that, and how we need more funding to ensure that public safety. Then somebody actually has to come out and say they're against public safety.
Right.
They want to start cutting it. So we want to control that dialogue.
Excellent. It is a very proactive thought process. Thank you for that. Marcia MacArthur, Ms. MacArthur raised her hand.
Yeah, it's a communication strategy. So depending on the topic, whether it's the specific request for more funding for the board or whatever it happens to be, just activating networks to respond to that and to send those emails or letters or to make that appearance or make the phone call, that's really critical. So it's just understanding what is going on, what the messages are, who the target audience is, and then communicating that effectively to the massage therapists that are in Arizona. So that's just my two cents as a former MBA and a marketing person. Perfect. That would be helpful to me to coordinate that and to pull those levers when we need them.
Gotcha. So I'd like to just change the course of our conversation for just a, because we're running on time here. So attached were the statutes and so forth. I don't want to go over those right this very second, but I'm asking that everybody review them and maybe make some notes on them about what is still great that we need to keep and what maybe doesn't serve, because as Mr. Mortel said, we need to know what we're asking for. And the money is definitely a big ask, and that's an immediate short-term, well, long-term need as well, but it's a short-term need because there's this backlog issue that we have going on and so forth. But the much bigger long-term picture is this law as written still applicable? There have been a lot of changes to it over the past 20 years. Are all of those changes good, not good, still relevant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Because when we think about the ask, I think we need to, and we've got this 2 years, is the board going to be around in 2 years? You know, we are going to make the assumption that the answer is yes because of public safety, but the legislative review of this law and the rules is something that the industry should weigh in on. I would be very surprised to hear any reflexologist that would want to willingly have a massage license to practice in this state. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people who would rather not have to have licenses on some level. But certainly for massage therapists, you know, rather as opposed to the adjunct people wanting to have to be in our licensing process. But there are a lot of, how many licensed massage therapists are there in the state of Arizona?
You've got 31,000 total, of which currently about 11,000 are active status.
Okay, so 31,000 people, 11,000 active. These are some numbers to shoot for about who, if everybody wants to have a voice. And I'm sure a lot of those 31,000 or the differential who are not licensed for some specific reasons. So we want to find out, you know, is this still relevant going forward? And so that we can have, as Mr. Tapscott said, a proactive view of how do we write, is this law still relevant for the next 20 years, the next 10 years, the next 20 years? And is it, you know, so that next, anytime we have to come before another GIRC process or whatever any of these other legislative processes are, we're really tight on what it is now. Because I know all the people who are so strongly involved in the very beginning, it was very clear there was a high need. It was kind of a no question. This law had to be put into effect. And I don't recall if there was a lot of resistance to it. But I do know that the parties involved were very adamant that it was absolutely necessary. We need to ensure that still is the same today. This law is absolutely necessary, and these rules are absolutely necessary. So some of the things that, and please give some other examples just briefly, Tom, after I state this one, we're reviewing. So, for example, the law said 500 hours. By rule, we were able to change it to 700 hours. That happened while I was the chair, because we knew that 700 hours was the minimum number of hours stated by COMTA and others that for an entry-level public safety licensed massage therapist, that was the minimum number of educational hours required to make sure they knew what they were doing. But that's not part of the law. That's by rule all of these years. So does the law need to say 700 hours instead of 500 hours, right? So, Tom, are there other examples of rules that might need to be part of the law or vice versa?
I would kind of defer to the group looking through Title 32 rather than giving them any prompts. I'd like to hear what their thoughts are first. But if you don't mind, Mr. Martell had a second point he wanted to make this morning.
Sure.
That was an Intel brief. And then I would ask Steve also, maybe under a minute, if you want to see what a post-regulation world looks like, Steve would be probably happy to give you a thumbnail on what used to be the regulation of Arizona's funeral industry. So those are two items I thought maybe Steve would want to comment on.
Okay, great. Absolutely. Steve.
Sure. So the other issue that I was just wanting to mention that I've heard as far as legislative is the idea of a compact is now starting to come back around again. Compact licensing, I'm starting to jokingly saying this is the year of the compact. I already know of three other compact bills that are being introduced, whether it's advanced practice nurses, counselors, social workers, dentists. There is a workforce mentality kind of within the legislature. How do we increase Arizona's workforce? And compacts are being seen by some as a way to do that. And on face value, that does seem right? Make it easier to get licensed, make it easier for people to move to Arizona and get a job. And so those broad talking points do play well. So I just have heard, I believe without sharing any comments, I believe Representative Longdon was approached by someone. She's the one that ran the legislation last year on the
removal of English certification.
The English certification. Thank you. I know she's been approached. I don't know that she will introduce. I don't know that people have weighed in with her, but I know that she had asked some folks, hey, what's the deal with this? What do we think? Sort of outreach. So, as far as funeral directors, yes. So that was kind of one of the last, that was one of the final maneuvers under the previous administration as far as that deregulation. It has not been boding well as far as how they're moving forward with that. There's a lot of consternation whether or not people made the right decision, particularly, I would say kind of on my Democrat friend side. I do think there was a lesson learned there. I guess I'll just kind of leave it at that. So.
I don't know what happened with them. Is it not necessary to share right now?
They're not regulated anymore. And so the oversight of what's been happening and kind of the industry itself has been kind of in disarray. And they're seeing more problems now because of the deregulation that might have been something that was caught on earlier.
Gotcha. That's fine. We don't need to go into a lot of specifics with all of that. But it is something that, Marcia's point about wanting to plan and have a plan A, a plan B, et cetera, for Stephanie and others that are asking questions of the industry. And I think that, having this review of the rules and the law and people really fully, digesting that and understanding it is a big part of us understanding and awareness, by what we can and cannot do. And again, does it serve public safety? Does it serve the ability for people to get jobs, in a timely fashion, which are the two, both are great needs, and both things should be addressed, but there has to be that balance. So I just ask that everybody review that because, future get-togethers will want to go over that at some point and see if there's anything that we need to chat about. So, Marcia, I guess a couple of people had their hands up.
Yeah, just quickly, AMTA released a statement about that compact, and they kind of, for brevity's sake, they kind of put a stake in the heart of that compact initiative. So I'm going to turn it over to Sophia because I think she has something to say, and Deb as well.
Good morning. Thank you. Just a couple of comments. First off, some of the schools are severely being negatively impacted by the long licensure timeframes, causing them to be out of compliance with their accreditors. And as a result, there's quite a bit of adverse action. So I think the fact that they are not able to stay in compliance with their regulatory bodies is a really important point that I think will help move the legislature. That's number one. Number two, back in 2018, there was an attempt by Mosley at the time to basically get rid of the massage board. And there was a campaign that was done very successfully, a large petition, as well as quite a bit of negative media attention on the fact that this was considered to be pro-prostitution and also helping to support human trafficking. So that media campaign helped to basically, you know, squash that effort. In addition, we had gone before the governor's office with organizations such as the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Arizona Cardinals, Fairmont Princess, Massage Envy, and Elements to talk about the financial impact and the hardship that a lack of licensure would cause for their organization. So that's just some history of what was done back in 2018 that we could, you know, consider as part of the campaign moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you for that bit. And Doug, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I did. And this is sort of an idea to toss out there too, is with regards to potential legislation, those kinds of things, and kind of getting back to whether or not the board is, you know, regulation of massage is a good thing, is the whole issue of unlicensed practice. And so this is sort of directed at Mr. Martel too, is that massage therapy is probably not the only profession that has issues with unlicensed practice. And so, you know, is there a way to coordinate with other professions who are having issues with unlicensed practice to create a unlicensed practice initiative? Like, for example, in Montana, where I'm from, what they did was they short-circuited some of the processes there so that the boards could levy a fine without having to go through the entire complaint process, those kinds of things. Because that is one of the major issues, that if this does become the Wild West and the board is no longer regulated, or is, you know, that they're trying to look for an excuse as, well, you guys aren't enforcing unlicensed practice laws, those kinds of things, that might be something to take a look at to kind of move through that and get some support of other boards involved in that, like cosmetology, the medical boards, the nursing boards, because you are seeing, believe it or not, a few nursing unlicensed practice kinds of things going on. So nationally. So that's just one idea that I throw out there in terms of beginning that process of figuring out how to make it more palatable for massage therapy to continue to be licensed, as if there are ways of dealing with that issue.
So I guess my initial reaction to kind of to not only that, Deborah, but just kind of to all of this, is it seems like you've identified three things, right? We have a funding issue within our licensing thing. We have a Title 32 potential rewrite and clarification or updating, and then an enforcement mechanism for unlicensed practice. I see those as three different issues. So I guess my opinion would be to triage those issues and looking at, what is it we want to do today? What is it that we would see as an outlier for next time once we've established the first one, and kind of going from there? So in my mind, you know, the two things is continuation, getting the message out, the necessity for the board, and then the funding to make sure that we're not starving it while we're doing that. That in my mind is your kind of priority for come January, whatever the conversation. You kind of have a 2-year run on that, based on, you know, the continuation process, whether or not we're advancing legislation in the first year to increase what the licensing capabilities are while we're getting the message out of the necessity for the continuation, or whether or not those two work in tandem when the continuation does come back up. That's kind of my initial reaction to those. I think the conversations are good. I think you should look at the Title 32. I think you should look at those other enforcements and having, but in my mind, triaging those two issues first will be the priority.
Thank you for summarizing that. I think that hits the nail on the head, and it certainly gives, Marcia and one of the other volunteers are starting like a volunteer coordinators to get a list of people together. So these could be the priorities now that say, okay, how do we go about doing that? And then getting some draft letters, Stephanie and Jimmy, getting them passed to you, making sure that we're speaking intelligently and focused, getting to the right people. I'm really excited to hear what Sophie shared today. Thank you, Sophia. I'm sorry, forgive me. Sophia shared today as well about the history, and that there's so much support, from, the schools and larger, massage employers. So it sounds like we've got a nice group of people, and organizations willing to help and move things forward. I suggest that we meet again after the first of the year. Do you think that you would be available after the 8th of January to meet with us again, Mr. Mortel, and tell us, give us an update then?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so
great.
We'll have the state of the state address, but my guess is massage will not specifically be mentioned. We might get some idea on what the regulatory reforms look like.
Right.
We wouldn't know any budget priorities from the executive office until that following week. So I'm fine to meet that 8th. I'm fine to meet the week after if you want to too, but just for expectation of what I might or might not know by then, that's just that level set.
Let's wait till the week after then so we can get the most information and, no need to rush it. We might as well get good information all at once. Honor everybody's time.
So having said that as well though, if you are going to make the priority of introducing, wanting to discuss legislation, trying to get an idea of what that looks like now and having additional conversations even prior to the 8th of, you know, what that looks like and who we might kind of want to approach, and that could be a worthwhile endeavor, even though I know it's the holidays and New Year's and whatnot, but because we start on the 8th and there are limitations to the amount of bills legislators can introduce, and there's time frames on which they can introduce them, having an idea, having a couple, maybe even one or two conversations before then is probably worth your while.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Good to know. Thank you. all right, great. So that said, obviously the holidays and so forth and so on, is there anybody who feels like they would like to try to get one more meeting in before the end of the year after we've taken a look at the Title 32 documents sent out? I guess, is anybody opposed? No? Okay. All right, great. Well, then I'll ask Tom to try to coordinate with everybody and find a time so that we can get together and chat about anything that we see in there so we can be very clear on. Can we do it via email?
Yes.
Okay. I guess we can do that, and that's okay then. All right. Well, maybe email would be just the best way, and maybe we can start like a Google Doc or something that we can just add notes to it, or something. Everyone can just put comments on it. So that might be the easiest way to tabulate everybody's responses. So I'll see. Or is there anybody else who's good at Google Docs who could get the law and the rules into one?
Well, Madam Chair, we'll do that.
You'll take care of it? Okay, great, perfect. And then that way we can, each of our comments will be tracked. All right, wonderful. Anything, we've got 11:54 according to my clock. So are we, let's do the roll call, please.
While you've been meeting, I went ahead and marked the people that I show present. So I just, everybody who's here, I've got your name already. I just am not aware if Tammy Recker is here, or Dominique Rhodes-Sipowicz, or representative from the ASU office. Okay, the rest of you I do have. We have a total of 15 people right now in attendance, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much. Well, I appreciate everyone's time. I'm sorry, did you have something else you wanted to? Was that a hi or bye, Deb, or you wanted to add something else? No, okay. Anybody else have anything that they want to add before we say ta-ta? Okay, great. Well, then, thank you so much for your time. Really a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Mortel. I'm sure we'll be seeing you all as often as we can. Thank you for all those updates, and I wish everybody a wonderful day.